Again, we're glad to see you here. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the worship service and the fellowship of the fellow congregants here. If you're watching online, again, we are glad, you know, we hope you enjoy the worship service. And please, you're welcome to join us. We'd love to see you. Come on down. Today is the day when we celebrate the birthdays and anniversaries. So there's cookies, cakes, and ice cream right after the service across the hall here. Feel free to join us. As far as announcements, in addition to all the wars and hate and strife we have going on in the world, I think today is a day where we should appreciate and say prayers for all the people who have been affected by the hurricane that hit last week. Tennessee got hit bad, North Carolina got hit bad, several states did. So let's keep them in our prayers. And I know that Nancy's not feeling good. She's under the weather and not here today. So keep her in your prayers also. Does anybody else have a concern or a prayer request? Okay.
If you'll please stand, we'll sing 121. This may be new to you, I'm not sure, but we'll give it a shot. Please stand.
Thank you.
O Lord and our God, we thank you on this day for the many ways that you have spared our lives. We thank you for the days that some Esther interceded for us without our knowing it. Grandma Esther, Aunt Esther, or maybe even Uncle Esther, worked in secret for our good, often risking jobs, reputation of substance to give us a chance for life. We thank you, O God, for making a way out of no way. We pray for anyone who feels like he or she is drowning in sin or in suffering today. Help that person to know that your promises are sure and that you are ever present. Lift all our heads above the raging waters and show us the dry ground on the horizon ahead. Strengthening us, we pray for this week's journey. Make us mindful of the weak and the weary, and teach us how to bear one another's burdens along the way. Remind us that we are a family of faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first hymn is 698, God of the Ages.
Beloved, God's wisdom guides us to reflect, yes, but also to act. Will you be a people who act with wisdom? We respond to wisdom's call with our actions. God's wisdom may call you to speak when it's safer to be silent, to resist when it's easier to back down. Will you be a people who act with wisdom? We respond to wisdom's guidance wherever it takes us. God's wisdom may call us to accountability, to recognize and reconcile when we've missed the mark, and to hold others accountable when they do harm. Will you be a people who act with wisdom? We will respond to wisdom's counsel with humility and grace. Beloved, this is the time, here and now, and in every moment after, to live out God's uncommon wisdom in the world.
We will follow the path of God's love with wisdom as our guide.
Amen. I got myself a little bit ahead of myself, and we've already done the sharings and joys and concerns. So let us now pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought each of us safely to this place. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those away from us, we ask your blessing be on them. We invite your beautiful Holy Spirit to move freely amongst us, to comfort us, and to teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. Father, as we meet now, may we behold your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join me now in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious God, we dedicate these offerings to your service, inspired by Esther's wisdom and courage. Just as she sought deliverance and found grace, may our gifts bring hope and relief to those in need. Guide us to use these resources to promote justice, mercy, and compassion in our community. May we always act with gratitude and wisdom, recognizing your providence in all we do. Bless these gifts and those who give them, so that together we may reflect on your love and grace in this world. In Christ our Savior and Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
seated, or standing, excuse me. Our hymn is 150, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens.
Today's scripture is from Esther, book 7, verses 1 through 6, 9 and 10, and 9, 20 to 22. When the king and Haman came in for the banquet with Queen Esther, the king said to her, "This is the second day we've met for wine. What is your wish, Queen Esther? I'll give it to you. And what do you want? I'll do anything, even give you half the kingdom." Queen Esther answered, "If I please the king, and if the king wishes, give me my life, that's my wish, and the lives of my people too, that's my desire. We have been sold, I and my people, to be wiped out, killed, and destroyed. If we simply had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have said nothing, but no enemy can compensate the king for this kind of damage." King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is this person and where is he? Who would dare do such a thing?" Esther replied, "A man who hates, an enemy, this wicked Haman." Haman was overcome with terror in the presence of the king and the queen. Harbona, one of the eunuchs serving the king, said, "Sir, look, there's the stake that Haman made for Mordecai, the man who spoke up and did something good for the king. It's standing at Haman's house, 75 feet high. Impale him on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the very pall that he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger went away. Mordecai wrote these things down and sent letters to all the Jews in the provinces, both near and far, of King Ahasuerus. He made it a rule that Jews keep the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as special days each and every year. They are the days on which the Jews finally put to rest the troubles with their enemies. The month is the one when everything turned around from them to sadness, to joy, and from sad, loud crying to a holiday. They are to make them days of feasts and joyous events, days to send food gifts to each other and money gifts to the poor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I will promise you that this is the last part of the series that the lectionary has on wisdom and decision making. I don't know about you, I think it's been a little bit too long, but I guess I'm not going to question it right yet. Now, in order to have a better understanding of today's scripture, we need to have a little bit, maybe even a lot of background information. King Assuerus was looking for a queen. He ordered that a search be made for beautiful, young, unmarried women, and that they be brought to him as candidates to be the new queen. Among these women was Esther, a cousin of Mordecai. Both Esther and Mordecai were Jewish, which at this time and place was not a good race to identify with. Due to this, Mordecai ordered Esther not to reveal her race and family background. Esther was strikingly beautiful, and after a long selection process, Esther was chosen to be queen. Sometime later, the king promoted a man named Haman to be above all the officials who worked with him. At this time, Mordecai was a royal worker at the king's gate. All the royal workers at the king's gate would kneel and bow face down to Haman as ordered by the king, except for Mordecai. The other royal workers notified Haman that Mordecai was not bowing or kneeling to him, and Haman became very angry. Haman had discovered that Mordecai was a Jew, and in his anger, made the decision not only to kill Mordecai for his defiance, but he also planned to kill all the Jews throughout the whole kingdom. Haman went to the king and told him a certain group of people exist in pockets among other peoples in all the provinces of his kingdom. Their laws are different than those of everybody else, and they refuse to obey the king's laws. There's no reason for the king to put up with them any longer. If the king wishes, let a written order be sent out to destroy them, and I will hand over 10,000 kikars of silver to those in charge of the king's business. The silver can go into the king's treasuries. The king removed his royal ring from his finger and handed it to Haman, enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, both the money and the people are under your power. Do as you like with them. In the name of the king, Haman wrote an order which commanded people to wipe out, kill, and destroy all the Jews, both young and old, even women and little children. This was to happen in a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. They were also to seize their property. Esther found out about this order from Mordecai, who told everything that was happening concerning the Jewish people. He spelled out the exact amount of silver that Haman promised to pay into the royal treasury. It was in exchange for destruction of the Jews. Mordecai then ordered Esther to go to the king to seek his kindness and his help for the people. Esther told Mordecai that all the king's officials and people in his provinces know that there's a single law in a case like this. Any man or woman who comes to the king in the inner courtyard without being called is to be put to death. Only the person whom the king holds out the gold scepter to may live. In my case, I haven't been called to come see the king for the past 30 days. Mordecai told Esther not to think for one minute that, unlike all the other Jews, she would come out of this alive simply because she was in the palace. In fact, if you don't speak up at this important time, relief and rescue will appear from the Jews from another place, but you and your family will die. But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be part of the royal family. Esther's reply was that even though it's against the law, I will go to the king, and if I am to die, then die I will. 3 days later, Esther put on royal clothes and stood in the inner courtyard of the palace, facing the palace itself. At that moment, the king was inside, sitting on his royal throne and facing the palace doorway. When the king noticed Queen Esther standing in the entry court, he was pleased. The king held out to Esther the gold scepter in his hand, and she came forward and touched the scepter's tip. Then the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What do you want? I'll give you anything, even half the kingdom." Esther replied that she wanted the king and Haman to attend two feasts. One she prepared for that day, and another on the next day would only have the king and Haman in attendance. At the second feast, she would answer the king's questions about her wants. That day, Haman left Esther's place happy, his spirits high. But then he saw Mordecai at the king's gate. Mordecai neither stood up nor seemed the least bit nervous around him, so Haman suddenly felt a great rage towards Mordecai. So his wife Laresh and all his friends told him, "Have the people prepare a pointed pole 75 feet high. In the morning, tell the king to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then you can go with the king to the feast in a happy mood." Haman liked the idea and had the pole prepared. That night, the king learned that Mordecai had saved the king's life by informing him through Esther of a plot to kill him. When Haman went to the king the next morning with the intent to have Mordecai impaled on the pole, the king informed him that he was to bestow great honors on Mordecai for saving his life, thus ending Haman's plans to impale Mordecai. Now we're at the point where today's scripture starts. Esther reveals her race, exposes Haman's plot to exterminate the Jewish race, and the king sentences Haman to death on the same pole that he erected to kill Mordecai. The point of the above is that all of us make a multitude of decisions every day. Most of us make decisions that are minor in comparison to Esther's. She risked her life to save her people. However, there are others in today's world who do make life or death decisions. Again, one decision we all make on a regular basis is whether we follow God's law or man's law. We briefly covered this before, but let us examine a few ways that this following of man's law has been commonplace for many of us. The fourth commandment tells us to keep the Sabbath day holy. This means it to be a day of rest, not work. When I was growing up, it was mandated by law, man's law, that virtually no stores would be open on Sunday, and other than vital jobs such as police, firemen, hospital workers, etc., no work would be performed. Over time, these laws were relaxed, and now we take for granted that virtually every store is open and working on Sundays is a widely accepted practice. How often do we routinely go shopping on a Sunday? I know I do. Is this a wise decision? It would be an easy yet inconvenient decision not to shop on Sunday. If no one went shopping on Sunday, the stores wouldn't open as they would lose money instead of making a profit. It should be noted that there are at least two exceptions to this where a corporation has taken notice of and observes the Sabbath and they're not open on Sunday. One is Hobby Lobby and the other is Chick-fil-A. Both of them have decided to keep the Sabbath holy despite the loss of profits from these days. Now, it could be argued that shopping on a Sunday is not work. Therefore, we are keeping the fourth commandment. However, we should also remember that by encouraging the stores to stay open, we are forcing many others to work on Sunday, since working on Sunday is often a requirement of their job, and it's not really a choice that they can make to not work their job. Divorce is another area where we've allowed man's law to override God's law. Years ago, divorces were difficult to obtain, requiring serious grounds to exist before being granted. Again, over time, this has changed, and divorces are now commonplace and granted with virtually no grounds required. Whereas in the past it was hard to find a divorced couple, currently today it's difficult to find a couple who have not divorced. In today's world, there may be good cause and grounds to grant a divorce. However, in many or most cases, there are flimsy or non-existent grounds to become divorced. One very unfortunate aspect of divorce in today's world is that even one partner in a marriage doesn't feel a need or a want for a divorce, they have no say in the matter. The divorce is granted anyway. Now, this has a tragic effect on family life overall, especially when there are children involved. The disruption to a child's life caused by their parents divorcing can seriously affect their physical and mental state for the rest of their lives. Divorces can also have a devastating economic effect on the husband, the wife, and society. The last topic to be discussed is a very hot topic and issue today. Like in the other cases, years ago, having an abortion was an almost unheard of practice, universally illegal in this country. Until recently, this was not the case, with abortions being a commonplace medical procedure, often performed for no other reason than convenience. Lately, this trend is being scaled back with the passing of new laws. However, it is a hotly debated topic. The ultimate outcome of the legality of having an abortion is yet to be determined. Now, this is not to say that there are not circumstances where an abortion is not the only option, as in where it would be required to, say, save the mother's life. However, having an abortion for convenience should not be an option. The decision to have an abortion is a life-ending decision. No matter how old the unborn child is, aborting it will result in the loss of one of God's children here on this earth. It represents a very real loss of potential to the world. How many potential spiritual, political leaders, scientists, and other important people have not had an opportunity to exist due to an abortion? We all have decisions to make in our lives to follow God's law or just follow the current laws that man has created in our society. It's up to us to choose which to follow. Man's law should not be broken by us. However, there's nothing wrong with us going above God's law and following it. We should always remember that just as there are consequences for breaking man's law, there are also consequences for breaking God's law come our day of reckoning. In the name of the Father, and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light."
Thank you.
May the holy wisdom of God guide your ways and guide your paths today and every day. May the living truth of God enlighten your hearts and open your minds. And may the living spirit of God give you life and life to the full. Amen.